Man, I want to chug this thing so bad. Do you ever just have such a nice cuppa that you're just like, I need to constantly be
Yeah,
having this?
I keep sipping on it, but I also want it to last.
I guess I have another beverage over there. Typical.
The short-term, long-term debate on our coffee, always.
I mean, yeah. Why not?
Exactly. All right. Sweet. Well, holy shit, I'm actually going to introduce this podcast again, two in a row. It's like
Wow.
three for 19. Let's go. And I guess everybody else listening, welcome to Fueled by Lore, all
It's a
12 of you
podcast.
listening. Four of which, I guess, big old shout out to like the 40% of our listeners who are listening from India, I guess. That's
Yeah.
pretty sweet. Thank you guys. We love you. But yeah, welcome to Fueled by Lore. I guess I'll even introduce myself this time. I'm your host, Patrick Garner, with my co-host.
Hey, I'm Beth.
And today we're talking with Liv Thrush. Liv, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Liv, and I am a music and event photographer. I primarily do music, though, from Denver, Colorado, and I've been doing that for about 8 years now.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Dude,
And
almost a full decade. That's crazy.
Almost. We were just talking about the 10-year high school reunions coming up, and
oh,
that's
wow.
in alignment with how
Oh my
long I've
God.
been doing photography.
Oh, high school reunions.
Know. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about how long we've been involved with the Denver music scene instead. That's a lot more like
Whoa, Patrick is keeping us on topic.
it's a lot happier to like talk about though too. It's
Yeah.
I feel like there's more of like a pride of like, yeah, I've been doing like music for almost a decade in the scene, or like, oh, I've been doing photography for almost a decade in the scene.
Yeah. It's crazy how time just passes suddenly, and you're like, oh, I've been doing this for.
As opposed to, oh, I graduated high school 8 years ago.
Great. Ugh, the passage of time. Anyway.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm excited to have you on as photographer because like so, some of the things that we've been talking about on this podcast too are especially like valuing your art. And that's also something that I have been concerned about, especially like being a musician and like contracting, you know, you literally specifically as a photographer who I've worked with before, like how much to expect to pay, how much should I you know, pay for those kind of things. And especially for artists who are like starting out, like, so I'm interested in when you started getting into show photography and event photography, like how did you determine how much you would charge for, you know, to shoot for show or shoot for promos or anything? Was there kind of like a cheat sheet?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated because a lot of times when you're starting out doing photography, you want to connect with other people who are also kind of starting out. So a lot of other locals and like bands in the music scene that aren't super huge yet, because you're all on the same page with wanting that exposure, and you're usually on the same page with budget as well. In the beginning, like, photography didn't cost me too much because I was in film school at the time. So that wasn't as much of a factor when accounting for prices. But I know that there are people who go out and drop a grand just to start doing photography or more. And they need to take that into account. So they want to start charging, real amounts right away. But the best thing for me was to pitch it like, I'm in film school. I'm learning how to do this. My time is still worth something because I have to, I had to pay for my Photoshop membership and things like that. But, gas to go to shows, all those little things. So how I would swing it was, I'm a student. I'm learning just like you. We're both learning about this industry together. let's just, if you could pay to cover my losses, that would make us pretty even and you get a lot of photos in return. So I would start out by charging like on a sliding scale, like whatever the band can afford, whatever I think is fair to cover, like at least like my parking and transportation to the show or whatever. Because in exchange, they're getting essentially free promotion. So it kind of helps everybody out. So that was what I really did for like the first year or two starting out.
Yeah, I like that. And especially because like, you know, that's definitely kind of like the aspect that, or the angle that I took as well, kind of starting off as a band is like, we can't afford a lot, but we do need something. And we also want to like support, you know, other artists. And like, we've talked about that too. It's like, essentially like we'll all kind of end up coming together and ultimately like forming like this fun little, like nice little like community of artists of different like mediums and stuff. And that's what kind of like builds up the scene, which is incredible. And it's awesome to, you know, get to meet new people that way as well and get exposed to different kinds of styles and everything. But yeah, like it's always something that I've, you know, worried about is, you know, oh, like, is this a fair price? Like, yeah, it's a little bit like, if it's like a situation, like this seems like cheap, it's like, I don't want to like, feel like I'm, you know, trying to like shortchange someone or like, this is a little bit out of like my price range. Like, how can we manage? But the thing is like, it's all going to be a negotiation with the artists and stuff. And we're all looking out for each other. And I think that you can kind of tell pretty early on if someone is not in that same kind of mindset where they're not trying to look out for you and they're really just trying to kind of like exploit. Have you kind of run into that issue with any clients, I suppose, who've tried to kind of
I've got stories.
Tell them.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Oh, yes. I won't. All right. This isn't a tea spill, so I won't name
it. No, don't worry. Okay.
But I have had multiple encounters with people where I have, you know, they've taken an interest in my work and been like, hey, I've seen your work and you're really good. Or like, I'll be at a show and one of the other bands will be like, hey, would you want to shoot for us in the future? And of course, I would say yes. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And this was when I was still like, I wasn't quite brand new. I was maybe like 20. So I'd been doing it for a couple of years. So I was just starting to like find my footing with actually like saying, okay, this is a small business now. I need to start like stepping it up and valuing my art more. And I've had multiple artists in the Denver music scene come up to me and be like, hey, would you want to shoot for us? And I'm like, sure, let me send you a quote. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you're looking for. We can negotiate. We can figure out something that's fair for both of us. Mm-hmm. So that we both get something out of it. And they have been like, oh, well, you know, like, can't you give me a discount? Like, can I take you on a date instead or whatever?
Oh my God. And I'm yeah, like, that's totally going to cover my cost of being alive. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, you know, the whole, oh, but I'm hot. So like, can you maybe like bend a little for me? And I'm like, not even a little bit. Like,
no. Gross. Like, asking for a discount in general is, but like,
right.
But
this dollar amount, but how much for me? Same thing.
No, man, you are another person who still owes me money. Unfortunately. But it's like, that's part of it too. It's like, it's a negotiation, you know, if like, if you were to quote them and they're like, oh, that doesn't work for us, could we try this instead? But instead just full on, aren't you just going to do it for free? Like, you already have the camera. What's the problem? Yeah. You know, like that's probably like, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens for sure.
Mm.
That's so frustrating to like hear about, but it's also like at the same time, not surprising. So.
Sad.
Not even a little bit. No.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like you were saying, like, I'm totally open to a negotiation because I know that, especially like with the pandemic, I was still trying to find photography work. And so I was running like special after special and just like, hey, just DM me if you want to do portraits, especially like I was running a promotion for a while where like, if you owned a small business, you'd get half off what I usually charge.
Because
I'm trying to help out small businesses during COVID. So like yoga instructors, people who, you know, did stuff like that needed promo still during a pandemic for like Zoom classes or whatever, I would still help them out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's like ultimately kind of like what enriches like a community and like also like helps build your business helps build their business, because you guys are just helping each other out, and like we can make it through all this together kind of thing. Right. And we can also like, you know, that's why you see like in like music scenes, I feel like you have like pockets of like three or four bands, and then there's like a few photographers or something who kind of like work with them primarily. And it's like you basically create these little like cells, little mini communities who like start to launch each other. And it's really great to see and everything. And, but then there's, you know, people who just totally miss the mark with, like you said, or like, I'm doing hand motions, but you can't hear that. what's it called? Where basically they kind of, it's the people who are kind of like, but we'll give you exposure. It's like, you have sold 12 pre-sales. You're gonna have to do better than that kind of thing.
You're not Panic at the Disco. Stop it.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
I would shoot for them for free. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
I wouldn't. I know they could afford it.
That's true, but I don't care. They're my favorite band. I still would.
That's so valid.
You can. That's that. But that's the only one. And anybody else, don't try it.
Hell yeah. So then I guess also with photography, like when did you know that like photography was like your jam? Like, was there, what is your origin story? Yeah. Let's dig into that lore. Like,
I mean, okay. I honestly didn't really know that it's what I wanted to do until I was already in college. Like I was in high school. So I got like my first DSLR when I was maybe like 14 or 15, like I was just in high school. And I took a photography class and I loved it, but I still didn't realize it's like what I wanted to do. I was actually super into the arts when I was in high school. I was in theater and all that, performing arts, I should say. So I got to my senior year and I wasn't really doing theater anymore. And I was like, well, what am I gonna do for college? Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And then I realized I really, really liked like editing. I really liked filmmaking. And so I decided to go to film school. And actually, I got into concert photography as a complete fluke. I wasn't trying to do it. No, I was in college for post-production. I was going to be an editor. And like a week before I went off to college, actually, my friend at the time was like, hey, have you ever gone to like a local show? I was like, not really. And she goes, okay, well, come with us. We're going to go see this band tonight. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And we went and we saw them. And hung out with them afterwards, like met them really quick. And I just was talking to one of the band members and I mentioned I was in film school. And he was like, do you know how to work a camera, like a nice camera? And I said, yeah. And he was like, well, we really, really need like studio footage and like behind the scenes stuff. So would you be willing to do that? And I was like, sure, I could do that. I've never done anything like that before. So I did do it for free. And, he actually ended up leaving the band shortly after, but I stayed friends with them and I started shooting their shows. And then I would meet the other artists at their shows and so on and so forth. And I was expanding my web. And to this day, they are the reason that I actually do music photography.
Dude, that's fucking awesome.
That's incredible. Now I'm like interested as like, what's that local band? Who's the magic band?
I'm going to tell you, cause I love them. I love them. Formerly known as Almost Maine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Those guys are great.
And Adam is one of my best friends to this day. I love him. I love David too. I always find David on like Tinder and I always send Adam screenshots and I'm like, David's on Tinder. And so, no, I still love them. And it was their former bassist recruited me to do the studio recordings and then he left. And then it was just them two.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dude, what a story though, that like you just going to this place and having this experience and getting to meet these people and taking the opportunity to talk and like talk shop and suddenly 8 years later, that's what.
Yeah, that's it. And now I've been paid by State Champs.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Comes full circle. Yeah. Boom. That's actually how Liv and I met. Oh, just kidding. No, I did open for State Champs right before they, the Finer Things came out, and I still can't believe that actually happened. Like,
that's a claim to fame right there. That's amazing.
It was us and Finding Common Ground. Miss those boys, but I mean, like, that's I mean, that's exactly how you and I met. And that's how, like, I'm pretty sure you were shooting a band that we were playing with. And then I was like, we were just like, hey, you want to shoot for us? And that's how, you know, the web expands. And then next thing you know, you're on a podcast. And which, speaking of, you started a podcast too, right?
I did. A couple weeks ago, I started one.
Mm-hmm. I listened to the intro episode. Is there more out yet or no?
Yeah, there is. We have episode 3 actually coming out tomorrow, Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
6th. We're doing new ones every Tuesday. It has nothing to do with photography. So a lot of music, so a lot of people aren't going to be interested in it. But
that, you're still making something, and that's the point here. So.
Yeah, I mean, my best friend and I, we've known each other like 10 years, and we just decided, you know, we're always being called in to talk to younger girls, especially like in the early teenage years, to give them like life advice. And we've been really trying to help people with it. And we just kind of, like, she came to me a month ago and was like, we should just do a podcast about like big sister advice. And for like, especially like preteens, teens, and like early 20 somethings, just all the weird stuff that comes with that time in your life. And so it's like the whole shebang. It is an explicit podcast, so I have to say that. But like, we wanted it that way because we wanted to answer all the questions that like maybe kids are afraid to go to their parents with or their friends with or anything like that. So we just wanted to answer questions, and it's a super open, like, write-in show where we talk to people about like sexuality and dating and having difficult parents growing up and school and things like that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I have listened to the first episode so far, and it is really great. You should definitely check it out. And also, if we happen to have like any single dads like listening for some reason, I think that might be a good podcast for you as well. Like, just to kind of help out with your daughters if you have
that
situation. So
absolutely. That's what we, because like a lot of my friends obviously are in, like, they're past that stage where they need something like that. So I've been telling them like, hey, you don't have to listen to it. Send this to your little cousins and your little siblings, friends of your siblings and things like that, people that you think could use it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the podcast called, if you want to plug it real fast?
It's called Hey Girl Squirrel. And we picked the dumb name because it is how my best friend answers the phone.
That's awesome.
every gender, they, them, he, she. Hey Girl Squirrel.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, I know. She said it on the first episode, unironically, and we didn't have a name yet. And then I was like, hey, that'd be a cute name.
That's awesome.
I love that. I mean, naming things is like super difficult, and half the time it just like comes out. And like, we have multiple, like, I had multiple songs that like the title was just like, there's literally one song that we released that it's called This Needs Work. And basically it's called that because I sent the demo to like the rest of the band, and the email like title was This Needs Work because it wasn't done yet. And then it just didn't change. We didn't update it. So I don't know. Naming things is always like my favorite and least favorite thing to do, because there's always a goofy story for something. So do you ever have any like, do you name or have to name any of your like photography projects, or is that something you do or not particularly, since you kind of do a lot more like event stuff?
Yeah, not particularly. I like, I just do freelance. And so there's never really much going on like in the works. I would say the only thing that was like a project was 2 music videos I made that I had to like kind of keep under wraps for a while and just work on them. And luckily I had my experience in post-production, so I was able to edit it all myself and shoot it. And then when I went on tour in 2019, I would say another project, because that took a lot of time to prep for. But yeah, for the most part, it's just like a one and done event, concert, whatever. And I send off edits as soon as I can, and then that's it.
Nice. Awesome. What do you think would be the your favorite show that you've ever shot? You could even pick like a top 3, because I know it's hard to pick a favorite sometimes.
my my answer to this question has always been, ever since it happened, when I shot for Waster and Pavements.
Ooh, okay.
Pavements has since dissolved, but that was Tyler Posey's band that he made from Teen Wolf. And he was like one of my idols growing up. So when I got booked by Prelude to shoot this show, I cried.
Dude.
And I got there, and right as I got in, Tyler Posey was talking about Casa Bonita and the Cliff Divers. Really wanted to see the Cliff Divers. And I saw him on stage, and I was just like, he's everything I dreamed he would be.
Oh my God.
And after the show, so I went in, I got in the pit, I started shooting. It was great. Mm-hmm. And then before Waster went on, Tyler Posey was getting a beer at the bar outside. And I like walked up to him and I was like, hi, I'm hired to shoot for you. And I'm such a big fan. Like, I know this is cliche, but like, I've been wanting to meet you forever. And he just goes, I noticed you in the pit. I like looked over and did a double take, 'cause I was like, I don't remember hiring her. Like, no, that wasn't you. And he was like, okay, good. Phew. I was like, damn, I'm an ass for forgetting. He was so nice.
That's hilarious.
Aww.
So nice. He's so nice. We had a beer and we talked for a minute. He called over the touring photographer, actually, and he was like, you need to meet this guy so he can like help you get on that level and go on more tours. And I was like, thank you so much for that. And so we talked.
Dude.
And I showed him some of my pictures, and Tyler Posey was like, bro, I might have to replace you if you can't come on the next tour. Like, don't play with my heart like this.
Yeah, don't kid.
That was
wow.
Best day ever.
Oh.
But yeah, I met my idol and I got a picture with him, because I was like, I am so sorry. I know this is unprofessional, but I will kick myself if I don't do this. So I got a picture. And other than that, I think the first time I shot for State Champs was really great because of the day as a whole. Like, I was actually there. I was there to shoot for a different band that was opening for State Champs.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result, I got to shoot for State Champs, and that was the first time I shot for them. And that's when they remembered me, and then they brought me back.
Oh, nice.
For them when they were on tour. But that was in Fort Collins at the Aggie.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2019. Yeah, 2019. In like, I think February or March. And
okay.
I was there not only as a photographer for one of the openers, but at the time, my boyfriend at the time was in the band I was shooting for. So I was there like all day. I got to spend all day at the Aggie. I got to see like State Champs do sound check and all that good stuff.
Man.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm.
That was a fun time.
That would make for awesome content too. Just not just the concert. Here's a whole day of hanging out with the band, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, they were around. I didn't talk to them much, but they were like, they were walking around when I was like doing my thing. Like Derek would walk behind me with like a coffee and I'd just be like, that just happened.
Oh man. Yeah. I miss, man. That makes me miss like shows even more.
You and me both.
Damn. I guess I got to start a band again.
Oh no. My arm. I gotta start another music project.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like with that, just like when you had like a show, it was like a whole day experience. And like, I mean, I guess it kind of was like that to an extent to the people who went too. But like on the other side, like it was just, you know, every now and then you'd go get there super early to the venue, go get like dinner or something with everyone else. And it was just like this whole fun shebang. And
Oh yeah. And just if you were almost Maine, you ended up at a Denny's at 2 a.m.
I think specifically Denny's or IHOP, even a Village Inn every now and then. It depended on where you played.
It was always Denny's.
Oh really?
Always Denny's. Because Adam always wanted Denny's.
For us, it was always we had a very heated debate between Village Inn or IHOP. Because I think it was Village Inn for a while because of, especially if we had like a Wednesday night show and we could go and get some free pie. That was the game changer. But then I think there was once or twice where the IHOP, like, I think if you play it like Moe's, there's like an IHOP like within walking distance almost. And so that kind of changed the game. I think it's just like right around, maybe not walking distance, but a very short drive. So,
right.
Dude, I love a good bagel.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Pre-shows, post-show rituals. Do you have any like pre-show rituals when you go and shoot, or is it kind of?
Not really. It depends on who I'm with. Like if I'm with somebody I don't really know that well, no, not really. I just kind of do my thing. I usually like the drive up there is like my get your head in the game time.
Oh yeah.
I drive up, I listen to music. Usually I'll like listen to the genre of what I'm shooting that night. So I like, know what to expect from the crowd. And then once I get there, I just kind of set up and stay professional and do my thing. But if it's like with somebody I'm friends with, we just want to have fun up until we do it. Especially like I said, when I was dating somebody who was in a band, like, I don't know, we just spend the whole day doing who knows what. Like you were saying, we'd go get our favorite food or whatever. We'd go hang out with our friends beforehand and do like little pep talks. But I mean, that's about it.
So I know you've also done like videography and stuff. Do you prefer to do like still shots or video shoots?
I like
for still.
Yeah, I nice. Really like stills. I used to do like only video when I first started out, because when I first went in the studio with Almost Maine for my very first like gig ever, they wanted like video, like behind the video of them in the studio. So that's like all I did for a while. And then when I'd go to their concerts, they wanted video. And so I did that. And then I realized like, it's not as fun for me, because I like being able to play with stills and make them look entirely different than when I have them. And with video, that's a lot harder to do. If it's not like staged, if you're shooting like raw footage with the stage lights, oftentimes it's really hard to like get it to look exactly the way you want. And then going in and editing it is much more of a process.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I'm like the two music video shoots I did, that was really fun because I was doing videography. I got to go in and edit and cut and color correct and do everything myself. But for like concert gigs, I like stills.
I like that.
But either way, yeah. I like being there. So,
exactly. I can't wait to go back to just concert a week. We're almost there.
I know. I just had my first gig back actually since the pandemic, like a couple weeks ago, like Ooh. An actual show.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shot at Roxy for a rap show.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. It was fun. It felt really good to do it again.
Yeah. I've done a couple like interesting little shows. Actually, I just I just played this little thing at like Super North Boulder on like Friday because of Ethan Knight from Rain in July and stuff. I ran into him like at a bar and he was like, "Yeah, you want to come play this show with us?" And it happened, you know.
I love
same people. I love that guy too. It was nice to see him again.
He's really great. So is his girlfriend. She and I are buds.
Don't think I met her, but
yeah, she's cool.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
Him and Yuta, I'm still really good friends with. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen Yuta in a while.
Yeah. He's good. He's nice. We both went through like some tricky times right around the same time. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had a chat about it and caught up.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see. I feel like the Denver music scene was an interesting situation because I feel like a ton, at least in like our little like kind of circle, like half the bands broke up in like 2019 and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So I feel like
broke up. Yeah.
What was that?
And then even more broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like you had like almost like a saturation like 2018 early 2019 and then like Postcards left and then like you had Pacific Nerve left and then we left and then In My Room left and it was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of them left. Another one that dissolved shortly after I worked with them was the 1,000 Miles of Fire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that was a big one.
Mm-hmm. But then Andrew's in Suitable Miss now, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I worked with them for a minute. They're really, really talented.
Awesome.
But yeah. And then I did their, I think I did their first promos like ever and one of their first shows.
Okay. So. Yeah, I haven't seen them yet, but they're on my list.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot. So I'm excited.
Very, very talented. I helped actually songwrite for them.
Really?
Yeah.
You just have your hands in all aspects of the artistic mediums around here.
I always loved writing. And when I started working with bands, I was like, oh, let me get in on that lyric action. I really want to like do something with it. And Sarah from Suitable Miss actually sent me a song that she had like had the skeleton for. And she was like, there's just something about it. Like, it just doesn't feel like poetic enough or something like that. And she gave it to me and I was like, all right, well, let me see what I can do with it. And I sent it back to her and that's the version they ended up using.
Nice.
So yeah. So that's, that was cool. Shooting a show and then being like, oh yeah, I helped write this song.
Beth, have you ever dipped your toes into the songwriting thing? I know you've done like short story kind of stuff and novels.
No, I can never figure out writing songs. Like there would be like choruses that like I wrote as a kid that sometimes still get stuck in my head, but that's kind of the extent. Cause I can never, never mind. That's a whole rant, but like, I just, my brain doesn't like work that way. I did write poetry though. To the point that I love, that you saw them, writing songs live and you're like, can I do something with these words? Cause I love that. That's, like the editing is just so integral. Like to, I don't know. It's just nice to be able to take things and be like, I can make this better. Like with, lyrics or the stills, like it makes a lot of sense to me that you love stills because you can like literally make, just like, you know, picture you took into, you know, crazy shit.
A picture into another picture.
Into another picture, but like different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think especially with like concert footage, like you were saying, it can definitely be kind of tough to get what you're maybe aiming for and stuff. With that, I think that you did video footage for like our album release show. And I think there's just one shot that I think part of it was just chance because we had like all these stupid balloons with penises on them. And then I remember there's this one shot where this balloon, you were like getting a shot of like the band and then this balloon comes out and just like hits the camera like straight on. And it made like the perfect transition in like the compilation video that I put it in. But like, I feel like with, what was that?
I don't remember that. I am an artistic genius. I don't get it.
But like, yeah, maybe I'll just have to like send you the little like clip. Cause I was like, how did this happen this way?
That's too
fun. But yeah, I mean like, cause with that, it's like you said with like the, you don't know exactly what, you know, everyone's going to do. And it's more of kind of like a behind the scenes, I think, even when you're doing like shooting live like that, whereas with like the music video, at least it sounds like, you know, you get to set up a little bit more kind of like the stills and it's kind of more room to creative freedom, I think. Is that kind of like a good interpretation of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like one of the music videos, the most recent one I did is my favorite one when I did Guessing Game for 1,000 Miles of Fire.
Mm.
That music video, I loved how it turned out like a lot. And I did have the chance to frame everything the way I wanted to frame it. I had a vision for how I wanted the color to look and how I wanted the shots to transition into each other. And that's why I directed it the way that I did when I was shooting them in the studio, telling them, you know, I was able to tell them where to move. And if I didn't like it, I could do it again. And like, tell them like what timing to aim for. And I was able to move the camera how whatever felt right to me. And it really, really helped my editing process because I was literally able to like, okay, I have everything I need. I know I got everything I need. There's no guesswork of, oh, was the lighting right? Or was the camera angle right? Like, was it too blurry or whatever? Like I knew I had everything I needed. And then I was like, okay, now I can go in and I can craft this project out of these clips and color it and do the sound and do everything I want to do.
Wow. That's so fucking fascinating to me. Like hearing the whole, like you literally like created a painting out of all these like pieces and stuff and you were in control of all that to like master your vision, like with all these pieces. That's awesome that taking it all apart and to do it yourself. I know like most things that's a team effort. Like one person does this, the other person does that, but it just, I don't know. It's sick to, you know, to do that all. Like, I mean, obviously tiring, but I just think that's awesome.
Yeah. I wanted to do it all myself because I just, it's not that I didn't trust anybody to do it. I did. I knew so many great filmmakers and I could have called any one of them to help, mm-hmm. but I was just like, I know exactly how I want this to look and I just want to make it so that if it's done and it's done exactly the way I want it to, I know that I did that. And it's validation for me that mm-hmm. I made art the way I wanted to. And I have the ability to do that.
Fuck yeah. This has my stamp on it, bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man, do you have any cool like projects lined up in the near future then? Like any music videos or?
No, not yet. No, I'm working on like getting back out there since the pandemic and everything. Like mm-hmm. I said, that gig I just had, I was shocked I even got that because I was like, oh, we're doing things again. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm the last one to the party, I guess. But I'm like, with more gigs, I think we'll come meeting more people. And like you mm-hmm. mentioned, the whole kind of scene is kind of, it's needing to be rebuilt because it kind mm-hmm. of fell apart. Yeah. And there's still really good artists out there, but it's not as cohesive as it once was. So I think once we get like people coming together again and more collaborations and shows are happening and more people are meeting more people, it'll be a little more accessible to like expand my web and kind of rebuild my connections with people and start new projects, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, I just had a way that I wanted to phrase that and it's gone. The next wave of the scene, I suppose. Cause like, you know, everyone kind of like all the bands broke up and then now it's like, I feel like everyone's kind of like mixing and matching with each other. So basically just like all the bands broke up, everyone shuffled. Now you're going to have a bunch of bands with like pretty much the same people. They're just in different lineups, which is, I mean, cool and exciting to see that within like a community is just different projects. And I'm excited. Like, I'm super excited to see everyone's quarantine projects like on the other side of all of this. So I think this fall is going to be explosive in a great way. And I'm excited. I cannot wait.
I hope you're right. Cause I want to see everything new so badly. And I want to just like, I want to like, without getting too personal, I had a lot happen to me in 2019 pre-pandemic and it made me kind of like reset and regroup a lot, not just in photography, but just in my life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my life was rooted in my work and the people I knew through my work. And so it's actually kind of been like a blessing in disguise getting this opportunity to basically start over. And so I want to like start over and just rebuild all of my relationships with people professionally and friendships and all that. Like, I want to like make sure that everything that I'm doing is done right, knowing now what I wish I had known then.
Go for it, Beth.
I didn't want to jump on your horse, but dude, the same fucking shit happened to me. Like, quarantine happened and I'm like, we're starting something different, like Crazy Witches. Why that this talk of community and all these bands is so interesting to me, because it's like this community existed and like will just transform in the future. And it's so interesting to consider the ways it will change and the ways it already has. And like, I don't know, all the things of like you taking chances and like people just being like, do you want to do this thing? And you being like, yeah. And that continuing, you know, I don't know, community, you know, that's what we talk about on the podcast. I just think that's great. But I feel ya is my point.
Yeah. That's also like, I was about to say like, yeah, 2019 was not my year. And then like, you know, but I think also like same thing is like, I learned for sure that I defined myself through like the people I knew as opposed to like defining myself as a person. So like, yeah, the quarantine was like a nice little like break and blessing to kind of like ultimately like realign myself with like all of my values and be more authentic. And I think that that's kind of what's hopefully kind of come through for other people as well. But I guess we'll kind of see.
Yeah. Time will tell.
Mm. Exactly.
What did you get up to during quarantine? Because you shoot a lot of like things in public with groups and like stuff, things that didn't exist for a long time.
Yeah. So in quarantine, my main thing that I wanted to do, like I had to get like a day job because it actually was like horrible timing because right when quarantine happened, I was doing like photography full time. Mm-hmm. But quarantine came like right after another big event in my life came, and it kind of like the two together was just a recipe for bad things. So I had to like regroup and be like, okay, what can I do that can be socially distanced and I can still make art and not completely like lose myself in a day job where I'm not making art. And that was like portraits. I was like, okay, I can start doing portrait photography. I know how to do it. It's never been really my jam, but at least that's something I can do with one other person. I can wear a mask. You know, they can take it off for shots and we're at least 6 feet apart. So I could do that and still stay safe and keep others safe. Mm-hmm. And so, and plus my day job, I worked in medicine. I was a vet tech for a while. So I was extremely safe at work with medical grade sterilization everywhere. So I was like, mm-hmm. I was good. So I like started doing more portraits. I started like practicing with my friends and being like, okay, I can kind of pitch this to people. And like, maybe there are people who need portraits for like their company or headshots for work or whatever, or maybe people who can still work from home who just want to do like an Instagram shoot. And so I started reaching out to people on Instagram via like, I would literally go to like popular locations, like the page on Instagram in Denver and look at people who followed them. And if they had like a super like showy profile where they clearly like to post like portraits of themselves, I'd message them and tell them I was a photographer in Denver and I was running a special for quarantine. And then that got me a little bit of business.
Hey.
Nice. Get creative with it. Like, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I did my best. I was like, what else can I do? And then I was like, all right, how can I get them to contact me? Well, maybe I can contact them and just be like, well, normally I'm a music photographer and my packages, you know, run upwards of $100, but it's quarantine and I need money. So who wants to give me $50 to shoot them for an hour, you know? And that,
Yeah, Patrick said creative, but like versatile, like making opportunities for yourself, man, like whether, because a lot of people I feel like just would, well, I guess I'm not doing this for whatever, but you're like, I gotta keep taking pictures and like doing shit, man.
Yeah, I really wanted to stick with it because mm-hmm. I knew if I took, like who knew how long it was going to last. And
right.
I just had a feeling. I was like, this isn't going to be like a month. This is going to be a while. This is going to mm-hmm. be. And so I was like, if I don't do photography for a year, I am going to be like a newborn giraffe when I can do it. Like mm-hmm. it is not going to be fun. So I was like, I need to keep practicing and getting better. And because everyone else, I guarantee you, I was like, all of the photographers out there in Denver and beyond are going out there right now and still shooting for fun. They're doing nature. They're doing long exposures. They're doing portraits of their friends. Like they're still practicing and perfecting their craft. And if they get a year ahead of me, I'm going to pale in comparison to them in terms of actual skill. So I need to keep making things. I need to keep practicing.
Yeah, keeping sharp. I think that's like super underrated for a lot of things is that like you have to practice your skill to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also like practice kind of almost to an extent gets like, but I have to like dedicate a whole bunch of time to do that. It's like, yeah. But like ultimately, like if you enjoy it, like it barely feels like you're practicing. Like, yeah, I need to get into be more like technical practice with like vocals and stuff and guitar and everything. But at the same time, like I'm challenging myself by like learning new songs. Fucking figuring out how to do a suitcase drum thing while I play guitar, which is only like half working, but we're getting there. But like, it's like you're honing your craft and you're adapting. And like, even if I like, you know, sit in my room and just play a few songs, that's keeping, you know, it's getting those juices flowing essentially and kind of like keeping up with it. And you're still practicing, even if it doesn't feel like, and I think that's something that's also like a little bit different for me as like a musician, is because like, I don't necessarily have to, I guess, quote unquote, create a brand new thing to practice. Whereas I guess with like you guys, so like with Beth, with like painting or drawing and everything, like you do kind of have to like go down and create something else, whereas I can just like play a song that I already wrote or someone else already wrote. Or same thing with like photography, is like you could like maybe go and duplicate a, you know, a shot that you've taken before, or someone else has taken before, or check out a new location. But it's, again, it's like the act of like actually like creating something new, where I suppose like I'm creating a new performance in my room for myself and nobody else, maybe my roommate's dog and everything, but you know, I think it's different. Like I get like a unique, you know, perspective on being able to practice my craft as compared to what you guys have available to you.
Mm. Yeah.
So no. Is there something that you guys like do as like a way to practice, I suppose, other than just, or is it just kind of like you said, like going out and taking portraits and taking pictures of, you know, nature, long exposure?
Yeah. I mean, I don't do a lot of nature photography. I know that's what a lot of people like to do to practice. And it's super, it's so valid and challenging. I like posing people. So I like, or getting candids, like that's my bread and butter. So a lot of times I would just like, I don't know, if my best friend and I were hanging out during quarantine or whatever, and I, you know, there were times where I'd just be like, you know, let me just bring my camera and like, so I have something to go home and play with and edit and see what I can do. Like, I remember one day during quarantine, her elderly grandparents were like high risk and they live in Roxborough. And so she like asked me if I wanted to go up to like walk the dog, cause they couldn't risk like running into other people. And I just brought my camera on the dog walk and took pictures of us walking their dog, just so I could have something to work on.
It's something also like, I'm interested because you're saying that like, you said portraits and stuff were like your bread and butter too.
Yeah.
And candids.
I guess. Yeah. Candids, shots of people are like, okay. Yeah.
I like that. That's what I got with. Nice. Yeah. That's interesting. Cause we had, what about, candids is kind of like what draws you to candids? Is there like some like certain aspect of it? Is it just kind of a feeling that it's something that you excel at, or?
There's always something like, not to be fake deep, but there's something about like getting a picture of somebody when they don't know you're taking a picture of them. It is such an untold story of like what exactly is going on in that moment. And it's not staged. And I love that. Like there were pictures when I was on tour with 1,000 Miles of Fire, there were pictures I got of like Andrew and the boys backstage that I still to this day love, because it was unscripted in every sense of the word. And like, it really expressed how they were truly feeling before they went on stage or after they played a good show or when we were in the car and stuff like that. And it was very cool to just have it kind of captured still. And there's this whole energy that comes with it. And it's the same thing with like on stage photography with, live performance or whatever. There are split seconds where like people forget they're being photographed. They're performing and they're doing what they love, and it just shines through. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. Honestly, I don't think that's fake deep at all. Like, honestly, it's just like very authentic. Like when you catch someone in like a moment, that's just like, they kind of forget, like you said, they forget someone's like photographing. Wow. Or like watching them, and then it's just like they're, you know, lost in themselves essentially. So yep. I like that. Yeah. And I think that like for me, like having promos done, like I'm not a comfortable person. I'm a very awkward person. So the ones that I think always turn out the best for me is when, you know, we get into the pose and then we kind of get to a point where it's just kind of like, it's like almost like the in-between pose kind of pictures always almost kind of come out to be like the ones that I enjoy the most, because I feel like I don't have to like think about like, hey, like what version of me, or like, how do I express me, you know, in this picture kind of thing. and it's just like a random little like goofy. And I feel like that's when I've gotten like the, you know, like I still have like a couple pictures like that where I like use them as like my profile picture because it just caught like that in between moment where I wasn't, I just kind of like, you know, forgot that I was being watched and it kind of just captured. And I was like, I like that version of me. So.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly it. You're not trying. Mm-hmm. Not what makes it great is when people try too hard or they pose in such a way that isn't natural. You can always tell. Unless they're like professional models, you're always going to be able to tell, especially in like promos when you want to convey a message of, you know, whatever, we're easygoing or we really do love what we're doing. If you look uncomfortable, it's going to show.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just contemplating everything. You know, it is crazy how much you can like just sort of feel in a photo. You know, and it's something like, I don't know, it's just, it's always a little surprising, you know? That's it.
Thank you.
Holes. I just like, I just love listening to talk about photography because like, I have no, like, I do not do photography. I do not do videography. I always appreciate it. Like when I see it and it's like nice, but I don't know what has been like the most, just like, I don't know, something you learned or experienced during this time of like doing this, like sort of like just as your thing, like what have you, I don't know, like learned or like saw or felt like, what have been some like big, interesting, like turning points or just, I just want to hear anything, you know?
Sure. I think like the biggest thing for me has definitely been remember why you're doing what you're doing. Remember why you chose to do this. It's not always super lucrative. It's not always super easy. And you're going to have to work hard every day to get people to notice you and to put yourself out there because photography is very competitive. There are so many talented photographers in Denver alone that are amazing, like Justin Urban, Ryan Frazee, just to name two, are like two of the ones I look up to very much. And I'm constantly like striving to be better because I want to play in the leagues with people like that. And the biggest thing is to just remember that you can bring something to the table that no one else can. Mm. You always can. Even if, you know, like, oh, well in this photo, he really did, you know, he had his lighting so much better positioned or whatever. His timing was just so much better. Yeah. But in this picture, I got like a real emotion that no one else got in that split second. So stuff like that is, it's super easy to compare yourself to others. And it's something that I truly still have to work on with not getting lost in the sauce of like, they're technically so much better than me. They're doing all these things and I'm not doing it or whatever. And it's just like, I'm going at my own pace. I'm doing my own thing. I did this that no one else did. I have this shot that no one else has. And there's something to be said about it. We all have different editing styles. We all have different framing styles. Like everything is very unique. And that's what makes it art. No one can duplicate exactly what you can duplicate. Mm. And it really helps put things in perspective when you start to like doubt yourself. So that's something that like I have to think about almost every day.
Yeah. It's easy to get lost in that sauce. So like good on you for trying to keep focused, but yeah, it's just, you guys are different people, you know, all artists are different, which is what makes us great. You know,
I think that's like an easy thing to forget too, because like I have definitely sat down and like compared myself as like, well, they've got so many more streams or anything, or like this sounds so much more interesting or something like that. And it's like, but I have like a certain thing that I bring to the table that, you know, people still come to see me play. So apparently there's something going right. So like you do have some, like, no matter what you're doing, like you have something unique that you bring to the table. And like, like I literally don't focus on that and like appreciate that fact in myself, like daily. Like that's definitely, I love that. Like you said, put that like perfectly, I think, because maybe you're not as, you know, your guitar playing style isn't quite what you want it to be yet, but it's your own style. You have this something that you're bringing to the table that literally no one else can. And I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the nature of art.
Yes. Yeah. But in our fun social media obsessed world, it's very easy to kind of, you know, be like, well, it's not as good as this person on Instagram or TikTok. And, but at the same time, those people can also turn around and inspire you too. So our beautiful double-edged sword that we're going to bitch about capitalism until the day that we die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple things we'll hit every single episode. How much capitalism sucks. So aside from what apparently have been dubbed my anarchist rants, Liv, is there like a photo or like, was there a moment where you like, you know, finished a shoot or like something where you, and you just looked down and you were like, this is like, I'm like really good at this. Is there like a moment that you had that was kind of like that, kind of like a moment of like pure validation for that?
State champs.
State.
State champs and actually pavements. When I shot, oh, I can't believe I didn't mention this. When I shot that Pavements and Waster show, Tyler Posey saying I was talented was about, hey, that's as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. I like almost cried. And because I was just showing him the raws, like mm-hmm. cameras. I was like, I haven't even edited these yet. I know they're not like where I want them to be yet. And he was just like, are you kidding me? These are amazing. And he,
oh my God,
loving them, loved them. And his bandmate and I actually, his former bandmate and I still talk, that was in Pavements with him. And he, like, when he comes through Denver, he hires me and stuff. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that, and then I actually posted the photos from Pavements, 'cause that's who I was mostly going there to cover. And I also posted a couple from Waster, and oh my God, what's his name? Tommy from Waster reached out to me over Instagram and was like, hey, if I give you my email, will you send me these pictures? They are so amazing. And Tommy posted some of my work.
That's awesome.
So that was like, dude, that's validating. Seeing artists that you look up to posting your work is like, or just saying, that's sick, I love that. That's like, mm-hmm. oh, that's it. That's like, that'll keep me going for another year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also like from the other aspect too, is like seeing like when like you, or like if we have Justin or something, and then like they like post like a picture from like one of our shows that you guys took. And then that's also like, for me, I'm just like, oh, you actually had a good time. And then like, I don't know. It's just, it's so, it is rewarding to see someone like post, you know, you mm-hmm. essentially, and like kind of show that appreciation and stuff. Like, it's just, it's so fulfilling.
That's it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I think, ooh, running a little short this time. Do you have anything else you want to bring in, Beth, or you want to kind of move on to our,
well,
our
I,
closer?
Of course, I could just like pick and listen forever. But I think we do need to address our unfortunate social media world and ask, mm-hmm. Liv, where can we find you on the socials? What do we always say? Like,
plug your shit.
Plug your shit. That's it. I kept wanting to say post, but I'm like, that's not the word. Plug your shit.
All right. Yeah, sure. So my photography Instagram is just first name, last name, Liv Thrush, like Liv Tyler, not Liz. Liz Thrush doesn't exist. Liv Thrush on Instagram. And then, I mean, Patrick, you follow me. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Yep.
You can find me on there. And then on Facebook, it's just Liv Thrush Photography. And that's my page. And that's it. I'm not really on Twitter or anything else. It's just those two.
Yep. Yeah. You probably would have been on the podcast like a month or two ago if we I forgot about that. That was funny.
It's fine. It has hit the fan enough time mm-hmm. to where this timing is perfect. So
yeah. We got it. Awesome. Well, we do ask everyone this question at the end of every episode. So, Liv, what feels like home to you?
What feels like home to me? I know the answer probably should be with my camera. That's not the answer because I associate my camera with sweat and work. So I'm not going to say that. Honestly, it's like it's at home with my cat watching true crime documentaries. That is like,
yes,
hell yeah.
That right there is home, like clean sweatpants and true crime. 100%.
Dude, just straight that, vibes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sometimes, yeah, just the at home, shoes off, feet up, relaxed. Like, that's it.
Cat. No shoes, no bra, no problem.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I love that because, like, I feel like with that question, too, we've gotten, like, so many different answers. And I love that people are actually, like, comfortable in their own home too, because I feel like that's something that, yeah, it can be like artistic or romantic to be like you said, like with my camera or like with my guitar, but like, you know, it's sometimes people like get into art and stuff to escape their home. So it's really like refreshing. Like we have had people say that like, yes, yeah, home is home. Spent the last tear trying to mend the way you left me lying wide-eyed in my bed. Then you came back again. Or maybe it's just in my head. All these things are left unsaid. All these words are in my head. Well, I just wanted to end. Like, I straight up almost cried for Mackenzie's episode when she was like, yeah, home feels like here. Like, ever since we moved into this place, I was like, my heart. Well, thanks for being on the podcast and chatting with us, going on photography rants.
Thank you for having me. That was,
of course, fun.
It's always nice to talk about my art. I love it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You've been kicking some ass, so
mm-hmm.
I look forward to you kicking more ass. And yeah, everybody follow Liv because she's awesome.
Yeah. If you like, we literally have a piece of yours like on our Instagram because it was the picture I posted for Faith's episode when she was on. Boom, you got a sample.
I remember that show. That was a good time. It was really good.
I really want to just cover that song like 100 more times with her singing because I loved. We'd been talking about doing like a Paramore cover for like a year plus and we're like, it's gonna be Faith. She's gonna sing. And then it happened and we were just like, it was a dream. And she even pulled like the full Haley like makeup and everything. And I was like,
nice.
We're going. This is
on brand. It's so talented.
Oh, oh my God. It always back to you. It always back to you. It always back to you. Her voice is something else too. I can't. She needs to put more music out. We're working on it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Excellent. That's good. That's good to hear.